I'm sorry, Jason. I'm going to let that play a little longer because I just love that song, especially that rendition. Hooray for Hollywood, and hooray because it's the Los Angeles Diversity Film Festival, the sixth annual, kicking off this weekend, August 22nd, 24th. And we are joined in studio with one of the founders of that organization, Seth Almberg. Welcome, Seth.
Thank you.
Now, tell us the story. You and your cousin started this?
My cousin, Sonia Maru, her and I were part of the original founding of the Los Angeles Diversity Film Festival 6 years ago. It was founded by Hollis McLaughlin, and we wanted to showcase stories from around the world as told through film.
Wow. Now tell me about your background, because that's, I mean, to just launch, I'm looking at you. You're a gorgeous, beautiful, white guy.
Shucks.
Yeah, and I know you're here in Los Angeles, but I know, because we talked about it, you came from a small town in Nevada. And how does one go from a small town of 5,000 people in Ely, Nevada, to running the Los Angeles Diversity Film Festival? That's a journey.
It is a journey. But I guess I've always felt like... maybe not part of the status quo. Obviously, coming from a small town and being gay, there weren't a lot of people that were out. So I came to Los Angeles 10 years ago, and my cousin Sonia was had already been living here, and we just clicked. We both have a background in film. We both studied film in college, and she invited me to be part of this, and since then she's taken over as the festival director. And we've grown and grown, and this is our sixth year.
That's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations. That means you've got continuity and longevity going with you.
Yes.
What is happening this weekend? What's being showcased in the film festival?
So tonight we have a block of shorts. There are six shorts about young Americans. That's the title of the film block. Starts at 7:30, by the way, if you're in Los Angeles. It's $10, gets you in. Six shorts showcasing stories about people, their American experience, and they're all different ethnicities and backgrounds. One of the shorts is starring Jackie Cruz and Lori Petty from Orange is the New Black. Jackie will be there tonight.
Oh, awesome.
So we're excited to have them, and it's just all different kinds of stories.
Wow, really cool. And by diversity, it obviously includes LGBTQ, but it sounds like you're even broader than that, in different nations, different ethnicities, race.
We are. We want to tell as many different stories as we can. So we have a lot of stories coming from or about disabled people, LGBTQ, women, people of color. We want to showcase everybody's story because I think empathy is something this country really needs right now.
The whole world. Whole world could use a little bit more empathy. We're not getting much help from the White House these days, so.
We're not.
Yeah.
So we have to do the work.
Now, putting this together, did you and or your team start working on this many, many months ago, trying to find people to submit their
yeah,
work?
Yeah, we start as soon as the festival's over. We open submissions and people can submit. You can go to ladff.com if you're interested in submitting a film. Yeah, we work on this all year. Preparing to do a good job, show, you know, setting up a nice venue.
And how many people you think you'll have come through the festival this weekend?
Gosh, in the thousands, we hope.
Yeah, we
started last night. We had an amazing turnout. Many emotional films. People were really moved. And we go until Saturday.
Anything from the Muslim community? I'm asking because my darling producer over here is a member of the Muslim community.
Yes, there was an amazing film by a Muslim filmmaker last night that premiered, and it was the story of a man who had kidney problems, and he had to make the very harrowing decision to sell his child for a kidney. And this is happening in the Middle East, you know, I guess not the best access to medicine. And
yeah, this is a true story?
Insurance.
It's a documentary or a docudrama? Or
it was a narrative short film.
Okay.
I don't know if it may have, I'm sure there are truthful elements to that. You really do see, you know, film to me is one of the greatest mediums of art because you can really, it's a looking glass into whatever story you're telling. So with these films, you're seeing things that you may not think about at all.
Right. You know, hundreds of years ago, of course, Hans Christian Andersen, Edgar Allan Poe, Emily Bronte, they all were authors. They wrote stories and created art through written form. For this particular art form is just over 100 years old, mm-hmm. right? Just over 100 years old, and got a lot of its start here in Los Angeles. Is that what drew you here to come live in L.A. 10 years ago?
Oh, I'm sure there's part of that, yes.
Okay, and the Cute Boys.
Yes. When I was watching The Wizard of Oz from my hometown, you know, dreaming of Judy Garland and the Yellow Brick Road, it led to L.A. in some way or another.
That was filmed in Culver City, by the way. Yes. Have you been to the studio where it was filmed? It's kind of, they still have some like attributes to the Munchkins, all the little people who were there on set.
Yeah, no, I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool. I'm really curious because I love learning about what moves people, because obviously this is your passion. I mean, you picked it up 6 years ago, you studied it in college, you're making your own films. So something must have resonated with you at some point that you said, this is what I want to do. Was there a point like that in your life?
I think coming to LA and seeing that it's an industry of real people that just have ideas, and I decided that that's what I wanted to do. But I would say that as a kid, you know, you realize the magic of film and right. how it can shape our views, our world views, and right. how important it really is.
Yeah, you already referenced The Wizard of Oz. Was there another film or two that were really inspirational for a young gay kid in the middle of Ely,
Nevada. And it's Nevada, not Nevada.
I'm sorry, I made it Latino, that's Nevada. Okay. In the middle of Nevada, I also Americanized it. Was there a film or two that really moved you?
Oh, I loved TV. I loved, you know, Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. And
of course.
I Love Lucy.
All the fantasy shows. Yes. Yeah, but you're too young to know. Those are my generation. Those all came out in the 60s.
But they're the best.
They are the best. How about, I'm just curious, since you like those fantasy films, I mean, the Harry Potter film and the Lord of the Rings, I mean, those are all examples of fantasy. Doesn't really do it for you.
No, it needs to have a little bit more glitter in there. For me to
that's interesting. So by glitter, okay, I get it.
Well, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, actually, that's one of my favorite
Hedwig
LGBTQ
is amazing.
Films, yes.
And that is an amazing one.
Yes,
yeah.
And it was my cousin, my heterosexual cousin who introduced me to that film.
Really? So, wow. Yes. Now, I've never seen the film, or I only know some of the songs because I used to sing in the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles, and we performed some of the songs from the Broadway musical. Yeah.
Yes. Such good music, but such a good story. So creative.
Do you have a lot of women submitting films for
yes.
this weekend? What's the ratio of women to men?
Oh, gosh. Well, last night, I think that we had four female directors, two of them women of color. So yes, we I don't want to say that we cater, but you know, the minorities, those are the people that we're trying to showcase.
Now,
everybody,
have you seen every film that's participating in the festival?
I will be honest, I have not seen every
okay.
film.
All right.
But I'm familiar with all of them. You know, you can go to ladff.com and check out all of the different trailers. We have trailers and descriptions of all of the shorts.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of them. So.
And LADFF, Los Angeles Diversity Film Festival, right?
That's it.
Are there longer films besides the shorts? Are they all shorts?
Yes, we have features. There's actually a feature tonight called The Extraordinary Ordinary. And I know it's going to be a packed house. They have all of the people from the film are coming. You know, we local filmmakers bring a big crew, all their family and friends come.
Of course. So. Yeah. What Extraordinary Ordinary what? What is it about? Do you know?
It is about a story of a few years after a traumatic high school experience when a young photography student moves across the country from New York to Southern California in search of a fresh start. She quickly finds that she is not alone in her struggles with anxiety and depression.
Well, there you go. That could be just about any of our stories coming to Los
Amen.
Angeles. All right. When we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about Seth and his background in history and the film festival. Thanks for tuning in here on Channel Q. Welcome back, gang. We are talking with Seth Elmberg from the Los Angeles Diversity Film Festival, which is kicking off this weekend here in L.A. And Seth, I didn't ask you in the first segment, but you are a filmmaker also. You've made your own films?
Yes.
What kind of films have you made?
Well, I lean towards documentary. I'm working on a project right now about a woman who sells roses in West Hollywood.
Maria de la Rosa.
Si.
Claro. Maria de la Rosa. Jason, if you're ever in West Hollywood, she's at the Abbey all the time, and she calls out, I can't even do it, roses?
Oh, come on, John, I'm not even Latin.
Roses?
Roses?
Seth pulled it off even better than I could. You did pretty good, too, Jay. That was pretty good.
I'm good with my R's.
That was pretty good rolling of the R. I love her. She's great.
Me
she's
too.
Been an institution in West Hollywood for like 20-some years. But
yes.
How great that you're doing a documentary on her life.
Yeah, we got some funding from the city of West Hollywood.
Yes, us. Yay,
yes.
Us.
Yes. Thank
city,
you guys so much.
You're welcome.
And Lucas, my better half at one time, helped us with that.
Lucas so John Junkin.
Gotta send him some love. And I'm working on a documentary about her right now that should premiere actually at the LADFF next year.
Oh,
so you'll have to come out.
I would love to do that. Maybe even give her a city resolution or proclamation as part of the film festival.
Yeah, give her a key.
Yeah, a key to the city. And I did it for Stormy Daniels. I'm sure I can do it for Maria de la Rosa.
Exactly.
That's really a cool documentary.
Yeah.
So what other types of films have you made? Are they all documentaries?
I've worked on a lot of films, mostly independent film, music videos, narrative, shorts, features. I've worked on all kinds of stuff, commercials.
Very, very cool. Now, the men and women and those in between that are submitting films this weekend, are they from just the U.S.? Are they from around the world? Or
they're from all over the world.
Oh, yeah, that's
we
fantastic.
Have filmmakers submitting from all over the world.
Very, very cool. That's really great. So since you've done filmmaking and we've got people submitting from all over the world, when a project goes from like an idea, like at some point you had an idea, hey, Maria de la Rosa, she's a pretty interesting local character, I should make a documentary about her. From that moment to the actual presentation at a film festival, what is that, a year, two, longer?
Well, it just depends on so many different, I guess, constraints. I want to get a lot of footage, so I've been spending time with her going out on the weekends, and sort of the more that I collect, the more I'm able to edit the story that I'm trying to tell.
That's
as
true.
A filmmaker.
I guess a large portion ends up on the editing room floor.
If the so-called B-roll, right?
The B-roll.
Yeah.
And the B-roll, too. Yeah. Of course, there's not
ABC
really
roll.
Editing room floor. That's what back in the days, Jason,
yeah.
The dinosaurs.
Here we go. He's going to lecture me now.
You used to actually have reel-to-reel, and you'd have to cut portions
I've
of the film.
I've heard about that, yeah.
Now
that
I know it's all done on computers, so.
Everything's
yeah.
digital.
Yeah, yeah. So there's no longer an editing room floor, I assume.
No, there's a trash bin on my Mac.
So does that mean that a lot of filmmaking today, especially with, I'll say, millennials and younger filmmakers, it's all done on a computer?
Yeah, I mean, they still use film, certainly. Film is still a...
What would they use film for?
Well, it just looks so good. You can really tell film apart from digital. So
Quentin Tarantino's new movie is shot on film.
He's a real auteur. He likes his film. So,
Yeah. And then do you supply the soundtrack that goes with that, with the film? Like when you put music into the midst of a documentary?
That's a bit tricky because of copyright. Maybe I'll talk to you after the show and get some legal advice.
There you go. How to keep you out of jail. Yeah. That's the only thing I know is legal advice on criminal stuff. But I'm always curious how, because I watch young people working on their Macs, and it's like watching the art of creation. Somebody,
yeah, you can get a lot done.
Yeah, they're just like grabbing this and grabbing that and dumping this and dumping that. I'm like, wow, what used to take weeks with many multiples of people is now taking one person on a Mac.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And there's all kinds of video editing software. YouTubers, they use Final Cut Pro and stuff like that.
Yeah, anybody can, on your phone, you can edit stuff together.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Man,
there's even apps. There's even apps for editing.
Really?
If you want to edit a video together, you could just go on your phone and just...
Wow. Okay. Well, this is the whole Brave New World.
I'm blowing his mind, everybody.
The first time I went behind your board, I about passed out with all those buttons and lights. I'm like, I don't even know what all this is, but I'm not touching any of it. So that is pretty amazing. So if somebody is in Los Angeles right now or close by in the 5-county area of greater Southern California, how would they find out about the films or get tickets for the festival this weekend?
Go to ladff.com. you can find all of the information, the address. It's $10 per block, or $25 gets you a weekend pass.
That's, you know, I would spend that much on just popcorn and soda.
Exactly.
At the AMC.
It's so worth it. Come out and support local and independent filmmakers and filmmakers from all over the world, and support diversity, support empathy.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. I know OutFest has been criticized over the years for not doing enough about diversity.
Mm.
And I know now they've started a separate part of their film festival that's focused on just people of color and women and trans filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like you guys started without, that's where you started.
Yes, we cast the net wide because everybody belongs to the family tree of humanity. You know, when like everybody gets a seat at the table at our festival.
So where did that come from, Seth? I mean, you're like, what, 20-something?
Yeah. 30-something.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that's a compliment then, right?
You look 20-something. You look 20-something.
I'll take that.
But you're 30-something, and you've got these very strong beliefs about compassion and empathy and diversity. Does that come from being a little queer kid in Ely, Nevada?
It does. Ely.
At least I said Nevada right.
I got a rep. There's only 5,000 of us. You got a rep.
Ely.
It does. I was just having a conversation with my dad, who still lives in Ely and, you know, leans a little bit more conservative. And God bless him. I mean, I've learned so much from him. But we were talking about what it feels like to be on the other side of the tracks from the status quo and how that does shift your perspective into a point of view that what we're told as a society, our cultural conditioning, is not always true. And you have to break out of that mold to see the larger picture, that we're all part of the same family. When one of us hurts, we all hurt, you know?
Mm. There's a great song that was written by an African-American composer in the 1920s, Billy, I'm blanking on the name right now. But anyway, the song is called The Other Side of the Tracks. And of course, it has to do with the fact that he was black in a world that was largely white and always feeling like he was from the other side of the tracks. But he's also writing it from the perspective of a gay African-American in the 1920s who talks about being on the other side of the tracks in so many more ways than just race. And I'm gonna come up with that name. Look, Jason's already Googling it, aren't you?
I might know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's Billy something.
He also wrote a beautiful...
Not Strayhorn. No, Billy...
No,
I can't.
That's
find
who
it.
I was thinking of.
Other side of the tracks, Billy something. I see if we had a call-in show, people could call in right now and say, Duran, don't you know it's Billy?
Let me see it.
To me at some point. But it's a great song. That was the whole point. It was a really great song about the other side of the tracks. Well, we're almost coming to a close, but I hope people turn out for your film festival. And
yes.
Thank you for doing this incredible
thank you
work.
For having us. Yeah, we're there all weekend. Tonight we have a block of short films. Tomorrow our documentary block starts at 3 p.m. And then we finish up at 9:30. We have a comedy block, one of which is being submitted by one of our festival partners, Nicholas Ibarra. It's called Oh Joy, and I might just have a cameo in that short.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Oh Joy with a Seth Umberg cameo. I love that.
So come check it out.
All right. Gang, that's Seth Umberg, Los Angeles Diversity Film Festival. Check it out. And if you're a filmmaker, start submitting your submission for next year already, huh? When we come back, we'll be talking to some of the gang here from Taiwan about what's happening in Taiwan for LGBT people here on Sidebar with John Duran on Channel Q.